If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light, the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is, your teacher is at hand, and it's not who you think. Yes, your teacher is at hand, and it's not who you think. So let's start with an integrative exercise. Take a deep breath. And ride that breath as awareness and energy right down into the very tips of your toes. Try to feel the vitality in your body, quite apart from the outer skin shell. Now take another deep breath. And only and fully occupy your interior space of consciousness. And take another deep breath. And now push it beyond the confines of the body, so that you're a field of consciousness, of energy and awareness. And occupy fully your body and whatever is present in your experience right now. Allow the sounds in your environment to be there without resistance. Allow the feelings and sensations in your body, your emotions, maybe your darting mind. Whatever is there, make peace with it and allow it to be. Because, beloved, whatever is going on in your life right now is your lesson. And whatever you are experiencing right now is your teacher. So life is the best teacher and nature the best preacher. So take a look. We always start with that which is the fabric and the substance of your life. What's going on in your life right now, at this moment? And what are you going through? What's been your journeying this week? What are you experiencing? Has that journey left tracings in some level that you haven't quite dealt with yet? So what are you feeling? That's the important thing. That's the moment of truth. It all boils down to what are you feeling? And then, how have you labeled your experience, your feelings, your journey this past week? Use this as your spiritual practice. That's all you really need to do. Use your life as a classroom. So the very thing that you are dealing with is your teacher. And this is the teacher who has one objective, and that is to set you free. Free from what, you might ask? That's a good question. It's to be free from whatever blocks you from experiencing yourself as whole and free right now. You know, I've been noticing how many people I've met who've been on a spiritual path for many years, and yet they have little to show for it. Many of these people have made certain outer changes in their lifestyle, maybe their diet, maybe they are meditating now, maybe they're wearing certain colors, maybe they have a certain group's lifestyle or teaching that they're modeling themselves after. But yet when you examine them, there has been no real and therefore lasting inner transformation. They still remain seekers. But one finds very few knowers who really know. Certainly here in the Mecca for emerging new trends here in California, we have everything from soup to nuts in the spiritual awareness menu. And one can certainly observe this pattern of seeking, but not finding. A sea of seekers will arise like a wave to swell and swirl around the feet of the latest guru and surge with the next new spiritual trend. And the gurus and the spiritual trends each rise up for their moment to sparkle in the sunlight of popular acclaim and then to disappear to be replaced by yet another. So if you've been around for any length of time, you're probably nodding your head and going, oh yeah, I know that one. And many of us know that one because we've been that one. In fact, you may be tonight one of those who have gone from spiritual teacher technique and training to another, like a hummingbird, seeking nectar. Maybe you haven't found any nectar yet. Okay, let's say that's your story. That you've been seeking for a long time, trying this technique and that approach, but deep inside you, to be perfectly honest, find very little has changed. You still have your moods and your depressions, and you get snarky and snap at people. You still are angry. You still get bummed and pissed out and discouraged and want to cash in the whole lot. In other words, you're still going through the same stuff. And you still don't know what you know. You still have yet to experience what it is to be truly at peace and joyful and free. The same worries and fears and concerns and the same relationship and financial dramas are going on. And while you may have a few more coping techniques when you can remember to use them, you're still pretty much the same person you were before you, quote, quote, became spiritual. So, okay, let's start there and look more deeply at the situation, the real issue here. The issue here is basically an unexamined life. An unexamined, unquestioned, unprobed, unchallenged, unconfronted life. A life that's been lived on automatic from mental concepts and conditioning, belief systems, emotional idealism, or trying to copy another guru or teacher or path or approach, rather than directly experiencing and learning from your own pain, your own issues, your regrets, your guilts, your fears, and so forth. You know, before one embraces a spiritual path, and sometimes afterwards as well, pain is usually unaddressed. And instead of addressing the pain, certain avoidance mechanisms are adopted instead, which in some way allow a physical distancing and denial to occur. And usually when pain arises physically, emotionally, mentally, an unaware person will turn to alcohol, drugs, and sex, whatever, to dull and distract from that pain and discomfort. And, moreover, the painful experience is always invariably projected outside of oneself upon some other person, place, thing, whatever, and kept apart from one's own personal accountability. You know, it's interesting. We starseed come in with a deep-seated fear of life in the material world. I was living with a loved one who used to use alcohol to cope with emotional upset. And the truth was, this individual did not have any coping mechanism for processing his emotional disturbance. So the only thing he knew to do was to drink enough beer until finally he fell asleep or got really ugly and snarky and did act out in his distress. And so I was asking, you know, meditation, what can I do to help this dear one? And the Lord said an interesting thing. The Lord said, both of you have the same problem. I said, what? I don't drink. I don't even like the taste of alcohol. Never have. He said, no, no. It's not what we're speaking about. You both are afraid to confront life as it is. And he uses alcohol, and you use meditation and getting out of your body. But you're both fleeing and seeking escape from that which is. And I couldn't quite wrap myself around that at the time. Now, many years later, I can. I can see so clearly. You know, hindsight is always 20/20. And at the time, I wrote it in my little journal, but I can't say that it made any impact or significant change in my life. I was still afraid of life. I had to get out in the world and have tea with it, make friends with it, live a little bit, and find out that the world is really full of love and friendliness and good people. It really is. Just depends on what you're expecting to see, because you will find what you expect. So again, look for what you want to find, and not for what you dread would happen. The big key here. So the blame and the cause for one's discomfort gets projected upon something without, and that gives the ego mind the reasoning excuse, the rationale, to not have to deal with it. But it's never ever viewed as the teacher who has come to set you free. So let's say that that, quote, unawakened person adopts a spiritual path. Now, instead of blaming another person or situation for the pain or whatever it is they're going through, now they blame it on their karma. Or it's their cross to bear. Or they may blame their pain on the devil, or on the reptilians, or on the New World Order and the cabal. Do you get the picture? Does that sound familiar? Can you relate to that? I think so. We've all, those of us in the New Age community, have seen this happen. And probably have done this at one form or another at some time. And consequently, peace and joy is deferred to later when they are, quote, liberated or beamed up by Ashtar or ascend, quote, quote, or are raptured by Jesus or die and go to heaven. But it's always in the sweet by and by. It's never here and now, today, this moment, regardless of what's going on, experiencing the wholeness and the perfection of this breath that you're taking right now, this moment that we're sharing right now, which, if you stop and think about it, you're quite fine. Right now in this moment, you're doing just fine. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting and listening to me. So the pain is still standing in the wings. It's still at the door. It's still knocking. But it's being ignored as an uninvited intruder. And so you need to realize that you invited that pain. So open the door and welcome that pain, that annoying issue, whatever it is, and have some supper with it. You know, that pain, that issue, whatever it is not going to leave until it has fulfilled its mission. Its mission is your wholeness, your emancipation, your mastery integrated and embodied full on. And so these things will keep appearing until you deal with them. So your pain, your issue, your drama, whatever it is your teacher. And it constitutes your personal path of transformation, enlightenment, and liberation. Your pain, you know, you can look at it as a passage, a channel into a new state of being, your portal of release, just like the cervix and vagina expanding to allow the baby to be birthed into this world. The reason why so many are on a spiritual path for years with little to show for it is that now, instead of drinking or taking drugs or adopting other addictive distractions, now they meditate. They do rituals. They chant. They leave their body. Or they disclaim, deny, denigrate, and disown the body. I'm sure guilty of all of the above. I've sure done all of that, so I can speak from personal experience. It so doesn't work. The thing of it is that when you keep denying that which is, it'll beat you bloody until it gets your love. You know, it's like a needy child. The more you want it to leave you alone so you can do what you think you have to do that's more important than love that child will hang on your coattails, follow you around the house, whine, and act out until it gets attention. And everything in our life is like that, too. The body's like that. Everything, I don't care what it is, it wants your full acknowledgement, appreciation, love, and attention. It's there to help you home, to help you step free through grace. Really is. Nothing in this world is designed to hurt you or to do you bad, to do you wrong. It really isn't. Most of that is just somebody's astral conjuration and imagination. It's really not anything you have to label yourself with. So, whatever you're feeling physically and emotionally and mentally, when you deny it and say, I'm not that, I'm spirit, and I think I have been many, many times teaching that, sharing that point of view with you on these web radio seminars, and it's something that's familiar to us. It's a familiar refrain. And yes, it's true. You are spirit. You are functioning through, like God in the machine, a body, a data perceptor with a mind, a mental pattern that enables you to make sense of the illusion for a time that could be called your ego mind. It's your human coping mechanism. You have your feelings, which enable you to know what feels good and go for that, and what doesn't feel good and to avoid that. So it's directive, it's protective, it has served you. And then there's a point when you've occupied yourself fully in the in these various levels of the personal self, and you begin to move into those levels of the multidimensional transpersonal self. First you'll move into the transpersonal self, and then ultimately the multidimensional over-self levels of awareness. And it just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. As I've often said, enlightenment is endless. You're ever expanding divine awareness. So the thing of it is, when you have completely confined your spiritual life to some practice, some sadhana, whether it's, meditation or chanting a mantra, or leaving the body like we do in my discipline of soul transcendence or soul travel, there comes a point when you come back into your body. You stop chanting your mantra. You come out of meditation and you go about your daily life with the same pain, the same issues, the same worries, and the same drama going on. So there's often a disconnect between the practice, whatever it is, and the daily life. That's why I've been having us look in quite a number of seminars lately of the process of living your life itself as your spiritual practice. Now, that doesn't mean that you stop chanting your mantra and you stop meditating and you don't practice soul transcendence. No, you do that too. But during your day, you practice objective witness consciousness. You stay attentive and aware. You slow down enough so that you're on top of your stride and life isn't pulling you along behind some worldly momentum. You take charge of the ordering of your time-space interaction. It's very important. Otherwise, the world will just grab you and pull you along for the ride, and you have no conscious choice or awareness at that point. You're just being done by life. So this disconnect and unaddressing the issues that come up for you has been why there's been no lasting transformation. You know, that inner peace and joy is the proof that your spiritual practice is working. So you really need to look at that. Do I have inner peace and that inner sense of bubbling joy, regardless? And it's not an effusive whoop-de-doo joy. It's just a quiet knowing that when you go into it, it's just really bubbling and effervescent and innocent and simple. And it's a breath of relief because you know that no matter what the drama is, everything is fine. You know what? You get high enough and everything is perfect. You get your consciousness low enough and everything is a mess. So you can be in the majesty or the mess, depending on your altitude of your attitude. But you'll never experience really what it is to own and occupy fully that life more abundant until you get down and get real inside your life. It's important to not try to avoid discomfort. That's our comfort zone, is to always try to keep ourselves comfortable. But growth doesn't occur in comfort. And very, very advanced souls are going to pick a very challenging life path with lots of obstacles and lots of challenges and lots of, handicaps to be issues that have to be dealt with. And the growth comes in that, dealing with those issues. So, 100%, I would say, without exaggerating, of everything that you're worried about is simply because you've been afraid to really look at it. You've been resisting your pain and your physical embodiment and wanting it somehow to just all, you know, disappear. Just want to escape it. So many starseed, that's all they talk about is, when are we going to be beamed out of here? Let me ask you this. Ashtar asked me one day, he said, look at it this way. Would you rather watch this wonderful transformation from the monitor aboard ship, or would you like to have a front row seat and really enjoy the show that you've been working for 26,000 years to prepare for? And I was like, oh, you're right. So I can guarantee you, if you were beamed up from your room tonight and found yourself distanced from your loved ones, your family, your pets, your potted plants, your daily familiar routine, in this foreign environment, you would go nuts. You would be so unhappy. You would be begging Ashtar to beam you back down. I can guarantee you. So let's just be here now until we're not, shall we? We have come in on a mission. We're ascension experts. We're here to transition this planet and her people into a higher divine ordering and experiencing of life in what's called the fifth world or the new earth. Everything is going to change. Everything is changing. As we speak, it's a normal, natural process that every planet goes through at the time in which it moves to the next globe, the next, let's say, incarnation for the Earth. So just go with the program and be at peace with it, because you chose. You were the one begging to be allowed to come in on Earth assignment. So here you are, my love. But let this sink in, and let it sink in deeply. That you might want to say it. My life is my teacher. My life is my teacher. My experiences in my life are how the teachings show up. My experiences in my life are how the teachings show up. You know, there are certain truisms that have now become cliches, but they're very apt, I think, in how we are to approach life now. There's the saying, what is, is. Or, it is what it is, so deal with it. And get over it. Get a life. Move on. Now, those are really very clear wisdom directives, don't you think? So everything that upsets us can really be traced to one thing, attachment. Attachment to the known and to the familiar. Yes, even if it's painful, we are attached to whatever is familiar. Now, there's a story of fisherwomen who used to like to curl up at the end of the day and sleep in their fishnets, which, of course, as you can imagine, smelled of rotting fish, and their whole environment reeked with decay and stench. So one day, there were some nice village ladies who took pity on their poor sisters that had to sleep in that, to them, deplorable condition. So they said, let's prepare for them beautiful clean beds with clean sheets, and let's give them nice clean saris and get them all fixed up and cleaned up. And let's sprinkle their beds with rose nectar and flower petals and burn some nice incense and give them a nice environment to sleep in. And so they did that, but the poor fisherwomen, they couldn't sleep. They were miserable. They were so accustomed to the smell of rotting fish and decay. And in a sense, that describes us, too, in our lower negative self with its drama. We're so used to the rotten emotions and the stinking thinking that it doesn't occur to us that we live in our own self perpetrating field of stench. And even if we are somehow supernaturally for a day delivered out of it, we find that change very painful because it's unfamiliar. So we need to learn to make the presence our fullness, our holiness, our wholeness. I'm talking about our divine deliciousness. We've got to make that divine presence more familiar in the peace of it than the stinking thinking and the rotten emotions. Behind your angst, there is an angel. The Buddha sits there, serene, as the witness of all. The Christ is there. It is you. You are the enlightened one. You are the Lamb of God. Behind all of the drama, the stinking thinking, the false identifications, you are. So, attachment to permanence in a world of impermanence, Can you see the dilemma that we've created for ourselves? Everyone and everything in the material universe has an expiration date embedded in its coding. So change in the material universe is the only predictable constant. And resistance to change due to fear of the unknown is really the root of every form of stress and anxiety. That, you know, that entire mindset of attachment to material forms and the fear of change and the loss of those forms is called collectively avidya. And avidya is the Sanskrit word that means ignorance. So the only cure for this ignorance is awakening awareness to the unchanging truth. And that unchanging truth is who you are. It's your own self as a divine spirit, eternally one with divine source. Not your body. No, that will at some point go back into the material elements. Not your thoughts. That will merge back into the collective universal mind. Not your emotions, that will go into Devakan and be expiated in that intermediary plane where things both good and not so good are worked through. So all of those sheaths of your consciousness, those levels that your soul became clothed with as it passed through the dimensional planes, all of these will merge back into their respective elements, except for you, who you are as a divine spirit, the Atma, ever one with Source. not in a loss of individuality, because through your passage in time and space and myriad of incarnational patternings, you develop a individuality that begins to take on its own, let's say, personification upon the inner plane. You begin to show up as a divine being. And that's where many of you that listen to these seminars each week, that's where you're at right now. So much of what we share is simply revelatory in the sense that we bring a quintessential overview of the common things that we're dealing with on a daily basis. But we don't lose sight of who and what we are eternally. We keep bringing that awareness to you week after week that you are birthless, deathless, sinless, immortal, pure divinity. You are the living word. You are the living light. You are that vibration of light and sound, divine creative intelligence, manifesting upon different wavelengths that give you a variety of experiences, coloration, insights that make you more, so that when you graduate from this earth, you have a bouquet of new blossoms to add to your cosmic garden, let's say. So, this is, for me personally, a great cause of joy to realize that this earth experience is one of great honor that we have been called forward to be participants as conscious co-workers with the divine process of transforming the third dimension through the fourth, which is dealing with all those unresolved issues in the collective, and hence into the fifth dimension. A world that Sai Baba said will be totally love, love, love. All that is dark, all that is of the criminal element, all that is of the distorted ego mind will not be part of this new earth. It will be unlike anything, he says, that we can imagine. And that world, it is now, as we speak, just getting ready to move into that state. So it's not like we have another yuga or even another 10 years to wait. It's at hand. It's at hand. And you're going to go into it one way or the other. And it doesn't matter how you go into it, because you're going to be just fine. You're covered by God's love and divine grace. And the way has already been prepared for you. You needn't make it hard on yourself. You can flow through ease and grace. You can default on God's mercy. You can ask for deliverance. You can ask your inadequacy to be bridged through to perfection, through grace. You can ask, why not? What could it hurt? So you don't have to cling to things. You don't have to. You don't have to fear what's going to happen. What you need to do is to use fear as a catalyst to awaken. See it as your friend. See it as your teacher. And allow yourself to acquire greater insight and awareness into that beautiful, unique being that you are. That's simply using this physical form for a few years. So, meditate on, who am I? meditate on what it would feel like to be without a physical form. Contemplate that. Meditate on it. See how you really are the same, whether you're in incarnation or out of incarnation. You don't lose the eternal one that you are. So, like that eternal one, that Buddha, that inner Christ, you serenely witness your many appearances in countless forms and its many dissolutions when these forms have served their purpose. So, why fear something that you've done over and over and over on this earth and on other planets for countless eons of time? Now, you're probably afraid because you don't remember. And you don't remember it because you're afraid to confront your fear and look. But whenever you do confront your fear, and you do look, you'll discover that your fear transforms. Your fear transforms into the power of penetrating inquiry and insight. So the only way to overcome fear is to face it and to push through it to the other side, which is empowerment. Facing your fears, doing it anyway, whatever that it is, spiritually speaking, is your key to empowerment. And that's the shamanic death that we need to undergo to slay that false ego self and to release our true divine magnitude. To experience yourself as pure, formless awareness, as consciousness, as bliss, as eternality, as energy, within and beyond the physical form, means you first need to embody. You need to go through the body into the inner essence. And you need that physical body to do that. That's why it's so important to be in a form. So you can consider your body as your meditation temple. You go inside and you allow whatever is there to be revealed. And it comes up for revelation in the light of your aware presence. As you turn your awareness inward, it becomes the light in which you see. Remember, we've been speaking about your gaze being the very eyes of God, the very light of God. So when you turn that light inward, simply looking and allowing, the falsehood simply vanishes. But sometimes people see things and they get afraid and they come out of meditation. No, you've got to hang out. You've got to be cool. You've got to have enough presence to know that you're the light and that whatever comes up is not real. If it's ugly, if it's fearful, if it's distorted, that's not truth. God is beauty. God is truth. God is joy. God is love. God is awareness in whom there is no darkness, there is no shadow, there is no turning, there is no fear, and there is no darkness whatsoever. You are that. So in the light of that presence, when you bring it forward in the company of whatever is surfacing, it gets transmuted, it vanishes, it's gone. And unless you hold on to those surfacing patterns, they will completely dissolve in your meditative gaze. So think of yourself as the witnessing presence, as the very light of God, illuminating your physical temple as you enter therein. Now, in this particular meditative approach, you do not need to leave your body or to go unconscious. You do not need to try to control your mind or censor your feelings. You use these very thoughts and feelings to see beyond them to their root cause. Trace that feeling all the way back to when it first came up for you. What did you judge? What did you make wrong? What did you misinterpret? What falsehood did you own as yourself instead of just letting it pass through? So the things that come up for you, whatever it is, will be directive in what you are to do next. For example, if guilt comes up, that is excellent. Look deeply into that feeling of guilt. Keep going back and back until you locate its very root. And then you can see what it is trying to teach or reveal to you. You fully see how this guilt arose. And you see the teacher and the teaching in that guilt or whatever feeling comes up. And instead of blaming yourself or another, it will be easy now to see it in a new light, as a blessing, as a learning experience, and you'll begin to feel gratitude. And the guilt just disappears at this point, and it becomes a feeling instead of appreciation and gratitude and understanding. And it's very simple to let go and forgive yourself and others when you see what you're experiencing as the blessing that it is. And that's how you can transform and transmute every negative pattern, every feeling that is keeping you ego-bound. So, it's wise to always take the time to stop and go in and really find the root cause of any anxiety that you notice, you know, as you're going about your day. When you have a coffee break or you take a break, go in and really look and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you why that anxiety came up. It'll always be a form of fear, that's a given. So you might ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Of course, fear always implies a, you know, loss. Fear of loss. What am I afraid of losing here? And very often it'll become quite apparent what it is. So reinterpret your anxiety as your attention buzzer that lets you know when you have an issue to confront and address. And if you maintain this as your consistent meditative practice, you'll be able to maintain a place of centered equanimity and inner peace all the time. And this has been my consistent practice now for many years. And as a result, I very rarely ever have the slightest anxious thought, fear, or worry last more than, you know, a few moments, a few seconds. I'm practiced now to where I can immediately see where I bought into false evidence appearing real. And all I need to do is just ask for the light to come in and clear it. Or I look at it, and in the seeing, it clears. So however you get the light on it, do it that way. But it's important that you get the benefit, too, of the experience. So this is true spiritual ecology. And inner environmental maintenance. And as you stay present and trace your thoughts and feelings to their root cause, which is always, you know, if it's negative, it's some type of fear. And if it's positive, it's some type of divine insight. You'll soon learn how to be happy, content, at peace, no matter what's going on around you. You'll find that it really, truly has very little to do with anything but your own inner orientation, inner positioning. So make peace with your pain. And what you can heal, you don't have to endure. But whatever it is, stop fighting and resisting. What you can overcome physically, emotionally, mentally, your life lesson in that case, is then to address that challenge and to locate and utilize all the resources available to assist in your process of healing or deliverance, whatever it is that you need. And you'll find that the resources you need will also be at hand when you are ready to confront your pain, your issues, your unresolved conflict. Those people, resources, and therapies will suddenly appear in your life. And that is how perfectly your life has been lovingly laid out for you by the Divine Spirit. When you really want to be all that you were divinely designed and meant to be, then all of creation will cooperate in assisting you. The Bible states that all of creation is groaning in travail, in labor and expectation, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's you and me, my friends. That's us. That's us as the collective sonship. That's us as the collective Messiah, the newly emerging superhuman, the new galactic Christ race. So embrace your life as your teacher. Embrace your experiences, all of them, as your lessons. And when you fully embraced and absorbed the essential teaching and learned all that that experience could offer, then it will depart your life. Some lessons are in your life for a time and a season, while others may be in your life for an entire lifetime. So trust your process. Trust would settle every problem now. Accept your life path as your spiritual practice. Get into your life. Get into your body. Get into your feelings. Get into your thought patterns fully. But don't lose yourself in them. Maintain and train yourself to maintain enough conscious presence that you stay in the witness without dodging the issue, denying, distracting, medicating, dulling, projecting. Just hang out with it. Just be with it. And experience whatever it is that's going on. And always look for the lesson within the drama. What is this really about? What is the lesson here? And then if you don't know, make up something. Sit down and make up an answer. The answer you make up later on when you read it will be true. You always know. You always know. You just pretend like you don't know. We always know. So if you don't know, pretend that you know. Act out knowing. Act as if you knew. Act as if you had the answer. And you'll find the answer. It'll just come. It just slide right in on that momentum as you create the place for that to come. You know, you can make it a game. Like Sai Baba advises, life is a game. Play it. Life is a game. Play it. And the goal of the game is to play it awake and alert, attentive and aware to who you are as a participant observer. You observe the game as you play it, playing it the best that you possibly can, while reminding yourself that you're not the game. You are simply playing the game. So don't get lost in the game. You play the game. You don't allow the game to play you. And that's one of the ways we're serving in our ground-based mission, is that we are enacting a higher way, a higher level of consciousness, a higher approach, so that the watching world can get a sense of what it's like to be the living love, to be the light and sound and manifestation, to be the servant leaders, to be the true Christians, the true Buddhists, the true Hindu, the true whatever, the true person of God. And as you work with humanity, bear in mind that it's the fear of death that's the underlying source of all this global concern about the future and what will happen at the end of the year 2012, that's this year, and all of the doomsday apocalyptic preparations for survival. Be aware that it's not possible to assure anyone's physical survival. No matter what they do or stock up or prepare for, life tends to deal an unexpected hand. So one way or another, we will all depart this world and this dimension. And when we do, we will leave everything behind except who we are and the love and truth and wisdom that we are. Everything else is left behind. So it's important to, when you're teaching and counseling, help people to transition their value system from their life and their things and their material accoutrements and their labels, and to begin to place it with the quality of their consciousness as a unique embodiment of the divine. Each person that comes to you has a special something that has nothing to do with anything in their material life. It's your job and mine to put our finger on that and to draw people's attention to that so that they can begin to build their life around a higher understanding of who they are and their value, their true value. Not the value that the world has accorded or that they have accorded to themselves, but the value that we've always had as part of the divine spirit. It's so much fun. It's such a divine dance. Do enjoy it, beloveds. You've been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command, and God willing, I will be with you this time next week. So let's go out chanting the Anahi and sending our love and a goodwill and blessings to all beings of all the worlds, and wrapping this earth in the mantle of our loving grace and blessing. Take a deep breath. We love you. God bless you. May the peace of God be with each one of you. And may you awaken in the awareness that you are the one beloved, appearing as the many. Baruch Hashem Adonai.